Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning and welcome to Face Connecticut. Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. My guest this morning is Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. We are continuing our discussion. We've been having numerous talks the last few months about what to do with energy and specifically electricity prices in Connecticut. It seems like every day something new seems to come up, so we're going to catch up and talk about the issue as it is today on WTIC and our other sister stations as well. Good morning, Senator. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Morgan. Thanks for having me.
You know, it was just the other morning, President Trump and New York Governor Kathy Hochul sat down at the White House, and you would think that that is an unusual pairing of people put together, and yet there they were talking, and one of the discussion points that came up between them was whether or not to install a new gas pipeline that would go through New York and feed into New England, where we have that historic bottleneck where we need more natural gas than's actually coming into this region. What's your understanding of that situation, and what are your thoughts on what that would mean for New England and Connecticut if that were to go through?
Yes, and to reiterate for your viewers, as you said, natural gas is the base load, the main source of electric power generation in New England. Second is nuclear power. So 45% roughly is how much of our entire power grid in New England comes from natural gas power plants. But a lot of our heating also comes from natural gas, and natural gas is delivered via pipeline primarily. And the problem is in the winter, when there's very high levels of demand for energy, when it's coldest, the electric power natural gas takes backseat to the heating natural gas. So we have limitations to how much power we can generate from natural gas, even though it's the cheapest source of electric power generation in the region. So I think there's an understanding, and there has been an understanding, certainly I've been saying it for years, that expanding the existing natural gas pipeline needs to be a long-term priority for not just Connecticut, but the entire region. Well, the interesting thing is we now have independently Governor Kathy Hochul, Governor Ned Lamont, President Donald Trump, Energy Secretary Chris Wright, all saying that they agree that there needs to be something done and that it would be ideal to have expanded natural gas capacity into New York and New England. So that's kind of where we are right now, that they've all said that. I don't know what's going to be done about it. Hopefully everyone can get together and get something done. I've had conversations with the governor. I've said it publicly. I've talked to natural gas companies all about how we can make this happen. I passed a bill a couple of years ago into law that required DEEP to study how we could expand natural gas capacity in the region. So I'm hoping that this means we should start getting things done.
Do you believe if President Trump is meeting with New York Governor Kathy Hochul, should Governor Lamont be meeting with the president as well to talk about this issue? Do you think that that should happen, and do you think it would happen?
Yes, I think it might. I mean, the governor met with the Energy Secretary Chris Wright and the Interior Secretary Doug Burgum on this issue. So I think Chris Wright on a podcast, a friend from Ridgefield sent me a podcast where Chris Wright actually mentioned the conversation with Governor Lamont on the podcast. And, so yes, I think he should meet with the president if it's necessary. And, I think it's good that he already met with the energy secretary.
As I remarked just a moment ago, it would seem to be an unusual pairing of Democrats with President Trump, a Republican, down in Washington. But it seems to me also that this issue has to be bipartisan. If there's going to be any kind of short-term or long-term solution to Connecticut's energy issues, it has to be bipartisan. And I think everybody knows that. But my question to you is, How bipartisan are these discussions going on right now at the state capitol in Hartford? Are you talking with Democrats and the Lamont administration as a Republican productively? Do you feel that you're being shut out this time around? I know there was that feeling before in the Republican caucus. How is it, though, in March of 2025?
Listen, there are some philosophical disagreements I have with my Democratic colleagues and Democrats generally in Hartford about energy. I think that we need to cut down the public benefits dramatically. I think that the state needs to be picking fewer winners and losers in the energy space. I have a bill, a comprehensive six-point plan, Senate Bill 647, that I think would do those things and more and lower energy bills substantially into the future. My Democratic colleagues don't see it that way. That said, you know, there's been obviously a lot of crosstalk in the press, a lot of debating about those competing ideas, but I have a good relationship with all of them. So I'm also confident that when push comes to shove, we can find common ground on something that is maybe 10% of what I want, but I actually do think moves the ball in the right direction, and ideas from them that I don't think is damaging to our energy sector or our economy. So listen, I think it is a tricky balance. I think I and others are managing to do it. You got to stand for what you believe in. You got to fight for it. If you do so in a civil manner, you can still find a way to compromise and get things done at the end of the day while continuing to advocate for what you believe is a top priority.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut for people who are just joining us. And my guest is Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. We're talking about the ongoing discussions in Hartford concerning Connecticut's energy and electricity needs, prices, and ways to decrease those prices going forward. I do want to draw on, Senator Fazio, what you had mentioned a few minutes ago, which was long-term pricing. And my question is, as far as fixing this solution, there's a short term, there's a long term. What can be done in the short term? Because I think that that's what we're hearing the most from residents is, how can we get the bills down in price next month?
This is where there is some philosophical disagreement. For the past 2 years, I and other House and Senate Republicans have been arguing that some of the unspent ARPA dollars, the federal dollars, should have been used to pay down some of the one-time public benefits charges. Our Democratic colleagues disagreed. They wanted to spend it on other government programs, and so that's a possibility has expired. I do think that if we pass my proposal this year, which starts to cut some of the public benefits charges, move some of the funding for those programs into the normal budgetary process, that you could start to reduce energy bills by hundreds of dollars this year for the average household. So I think, you know, as far as what could be done in the near term, meaning in the next year, that is the only substantial policy change I think that would actually accrue to the benefit of consumers in the next year, and it would accrue to their benefit much more in the next several years if you started cutting some of the public benefits charges and moving some of the funding for the programs that I think do pass the cost benefit test into the normal budgetary process, where they're funded with our tax revenue, but they come in under a spending cap like every other thing that's funded through our budgetary process, infrastructure, public safety, and so on.
Let's say that there is the installation of the Constitution pipeline, that pipeline that President Trump and New York Governor Kathy Hochul have been talking about very recently. Do you believe that if that were to be approved tomorrow, theoretically, do you believe that there would be future anticipation about all of the new natural gas that would be on the market, that it would reduce prices immediately, or do you think that it would only be a reduction in price once that natural gas is flowing and reaching the region?
It would be a reduction in natural gas in the region where we buy it here in New England once the gas pipeline is online. So if you look at it, and it's really just, you know, for weeks in the year where natural gas prices in New England far, far exceed what kind of the benchmark is elsewhere in the country, because there is a transportation bottleneck from pipeline meeting its capacity. So you could have natural gas in the middle of the country or in the southern part of the country, or perhaps even, I'm not positive, perhaps even in Pennsylvania where not a lot of the natural gas is produced, at, you know, even in the winter, $5 or $10 per decatherm. And then in New England at the destination, because of the pipeline meeting capacity and demand being very high, it could be like $100. So really, you know, that price difference for just, you know, a few weeks of the year can cost consumers enormously and can cost our economy enormously. And you know, other times during the year, the price differential will be lower because demand is lower. But those few weeks, it could really be painful for the economy and for consumers. So you'd really see that price differential come down if we expanded the pipeline capacity, and specifically in those parts of the year where there's a very high level of demand. But it wouldn't happen until I think the pipeline is built.
I understand. Now, you had mentioned nuclear, and I know that Senate Republicans, for one, have been in support of adding more nuclear to Connecticut. What would the first step be in the legislature? And maybe you're already discussing this now. What would be the first step to actually achieving that as a long-term solution and goal that the state has?
Well, I think we've taken the first few steps in the past few years. In my first year in the legislature, the legislature passed a new law to lift the current limitations on how much nuclear energy is produced in the state. So it would legally give the ability of, say, Dominion, the company that owns Millstone, to expand capacity at the Millstone plant in eastern Connecticut and Waterford, Connecticut. 2 years ago, I passed a proposal into law that would include any new nuclear production in the state's renewable portfolio standards. So it would give it the same, you know, regulatory treatment as wind or solar, kind of the better treatment in our state's renewable portfolio standard, which I thought is just fair because it's zero carbon. Why would you not give nuclear the same treatment as wind and solar, which are also zero carbon, but actually more expensive and less reliable? So those were two steps we took. There's more discussion. Ultimately, what needs to happen first, however, I think, is that the industry, the nuclear industry, specifically with regard to the small modular reactors, which are kind of being developed now, the new technology that people think is going to be more affordable form of building nuclear energy, it has to be kind of commercializable. It has to kind of pass the economic test. And I think that will happen in 10 years, maybe 15 years. So we're probably 10 years out from that new kind of capacity being deployable, maybe a little less, but probably a little bit more. And we have to be ready as policymakers to create a fertile ground for that new tech, for that new technology, that new production to be deployed when that time comes. So, you know, we play a role as policymakers, but you also can't get upside or in front of the economics of the market as well. So we're also rooting for the industry to figure out how to innovate on costs and make new nuclear production affordable to consumers.
I'm Morgan Cunningham. This is Face Connecticut. We're talking about Connecticut's energy needs and what the state legislature wants to do with Connecticut's numerous problems, including the high cost of electricity in the state. Talking about nuclear, Senator Fazio, there was a report out recently from the State Department of Energy and Environmental Protection that looked at all of the different options for getting energy into the state, nuclear being one of them. And it talked about permits, it talked about land that would be necessary, etc. Would there be any need for the legislature to act as far as making it easier for a site like that to be installed, or expanded, or is that something that you guys are not looking to revise? In other words, keeping regulations in step since it's already going to be a lengthier process?
No, I would predict that something we passed this year in bipartisan fashion is making it a little bit easier to do permitting making it a little easier to develop new nuclear energy when the industry is at the point where it's economically viable. So the work that DEEP has done on this, I think, is good. And I do foresee us passing something along the lines of what you mentioned with regard to nuclear this year in bipartisan fashion.
What about other energy options, solar, wind, hydro? Are these options that are getting a lot of attention at the moment, or is the focus on nuclear and also, as we mentioned earlier, natural gas?
You know, there's still a lot going on with wind and solar. I was very pleased that Connecticut did not purchase a long-term offshore wind contract, which I think would have been probably 4 times the price of what we pay for energy from natural gas plants. So I think that was a major victory for Connecticut energy consumers. Me and other Republicans have been asking the governor not to do that, not to use the authority to make those purchases, while Massachusetts did. So we're happy about that, but we are wary that there's still a push inside the state government to buy more of that at a high price. The state government has made a new long-term solar purchase. We don't know what the price is for that. Me and Senator Harding have asked for pricing information from the state government. They said they can't give it. I find that a little surprising. But
do you think that they don't have it, or they can't share it for whatever reason?
They say they can't share it because of market kind of protections for the company. I find that surprising. But nonetheless, eventually we'll find out. I mean, I assume, when we buy power from gas plants on the market, it's probably around $40 a megawatt hour. The nuclear purchase we have is $50. Offshore wind right now, the market's like $150, $160, so it's way up there. Solar, if it's kind of grid scale, if it's like solar farms, it can be $80 or $90. It can be, cheaper than wind, but still more expensive than the base load. So that's what I anticipate that is probably at. I think we have a problem in some of our solar policy in Connecticut, because we all of the solar is basically purchased at a subsidized rate by consumers at the direction of the government. But the solar farms are $80 or $90. The commercial and industrial, so think of like on the rooftops of commercial and industrial buildings, they're like $150, $160, $170, so way more expensive. And then on residential homes, it's like $330. So I think we need to weight our policy more towards the cheaper forms of the solar development and generation. Then, you can't really sustain an economy by paying 9 or 10 times the market rate for a basic commodity. But that's what our state policy is currently doing. So that's another goal, that we try to shift some of the power production from the really, really expensive type of solar to the more, the less unaffordable type of solar. There's a lot more we can be doing to make our policy more affordable, and that's my goal.
As far as solar is concerned, I'm thinking here, there's a lot of land that the state has that is not currently used. I'm thinking about, say, old state prisons that are no longer open, and other areas that take up a large amount of space. Is it a possibility that solar grids could be built out there, little solar farms could be built there that would power the grid? Is that something that's ever been considered, using old state property? You don't need to buy the land. You already have it. You just have to build something on it. Is that something that's ever come up or has been considered?
Yeah, it definitely has. And I would assume it's being done in some places already. It doesn't really change the economics. The commercial and industrial stuff is still being sold at, $150 to $170 on the market, is my understanding. Under the government kind of subsidy program.
So you're saying it wouldn't make too much of a difference anyway?
It probably wouldn't. Again, the solar farms, as you implied, are the least unaffordable form of solar development, and it's it's still kind of double the rate you're paying when you produce from a natural gas plant. And so, listen, you know, we're probably going to have some solar. I'm probably not going to cry as hard about that, the solar farms at $80 or $90 per megawatt hour. But I think when you're getting up to $170 or $330, it's not economically justifiable.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and we're going to be wrapping up here in the next few moments with Republican State Senator Ryan Fazio of Greenwich. He is on the Energy Committee, and we're talking about what's going on at the state capitol as far as the discussion as of March 2025 on what to do with Connecticut's high energy and electricity costs and the various options to address them at the moment. Is there anything else that people should be aware of that's being talked about at the Capitol now regarding energy that people might not be aware of?
We just got through the committee process, basically, in the Energy Committee. And I've been fighting very hard for the six-point plan I co-authored and every House and Senate Republican have signed on to, House Senate Bill 647. So much of the debate has been about that, about cutting the public benefits charges. Again, I stand by that proposal, keep fighting for that proposal this year, next year, many years into the future. I don't think this issue is going away. We know that we have a growing demand for electricity and power, and that we don't have a lot of new affordable generation. The natural gas pipeline expansion is probably potentially the best news that New England could ever get on the energy front. Other than some magical technological innovation with regard to nuclear, the natural gas pipeline expansion is probably the best news we could ever get. And even then, we're going to have challenges. So I'm going to continue, you know, working for policies, you know, trying to persuade my colleagues across the aisle that we need to cut the public benefits charges. And then, in the meantime, trying to work collaboratively with anyone and everyone to make incremental progress. And happy to support the administration in any negotiations it has with other states
or with
the federal government in regard to a pipeline reconstruction or expansion. So there's a lot going on. We got to pay attention closely. We got to argue for the best possible outcomes, but also collaborate when necessary to get things moving in the right direction.
There's so much that we've been talking about in this show and other issues that we have not discussed concerning energy and electricity, just because we're out of time. Do you expect that there's just going to be one big fat bill to address all of this? Or do you think, Senator Fazio, that this will be a piecemeal thing? Because sometimes I've seen at the Capitol, there will be one big bill and it takes forever to debate and vote, and things sometimes get lost in that process, it would seem.
It remains to be seen. It kind of depends on the committee leadership, the chairman of that committee. I'm the ranking member of the committee, so I'm the leading Republican, but I don't have a majority. So they ultimately will make that decision. I assume it'll be a couple bills, if I had to predict. But my hope is that it's done in a bipartisan fashion with both parties at the table rather than just one. And so that's what we're hoping for and going to advocate for, but it remains to be seen what exactly happens.
All right, Senator Fazio, I really appreciate this time this morning on Face Connecticut, and we'll have to do another one of these updates soon. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the time.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.